heaven at mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am.
Happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I'm known that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am.
Of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. His love is the theme of my song.
His child and forever I am.
His child and forever I
am. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night prayer time for Watch and Pray. But we have been having Pastor Fred with us for teaching. So let me take a look and see if Pastor Fred is here. And Pastor Fred is not here. Okay. That's unusual. But maybe he'll get here. Nope. Not here yet. So Sister Kathy, is it time to panic now or what?
No, it's time to praise the Lord for the hostages being released.
Well, I mean that Pastor Fred's not here.
Well, I know, but I mean we can use that time for that, and then he'll get here.
All right. Oh, I was out this afternoon, and I needed tires for my car, and I was listening to the radio, and it was Hannity. Was Hannity, and he played Trump's entire speech in Egypt.
Wow.
And this morning we heard it in Israel, but he played it in Egypt. And I wasn't sure I was hearing what I heard, but Nancy heard it also. And this is what, I have to paraphrase it. He said that, he was talking about Israel and Jerusalem, and he said Jerusalem is where God walked in the form of a man, and he said he gave us like this verse, and I was like blown away, Sister Kathy. Did you hear him? Did you hear him speaking in Egypt by any chance?
I did not, but he is becoming a deep, I mean, for him to have said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to me was amazing in Israel. I just thought that was over the, just amazing. But no, you don't remember the scripture?
No, no, you know, I don't. I mean, I was thinking to, did I really hear what I just heard? And he didn't quote it. He like kind of paraphrased the scripture, but that's what he said. He said, God walked in the form of a man in Jerusalem.
Well, he has been prophesied to be saved and a mighty man of God. That's been prophesied over him.
Well, and we listened this morning, Sister Sharon.
Yes, Reverend John.
Yeah, did you hear any more? Did you watch any more of what was going on during the day there and with President Trump?
Yeah, there was so much with the families getting back with their family members and stuff, and it just that seemed like that happened awful fast. And I know there was something about Trump going to Egypt and stuff, and it just to me is like, I said, boy, he seems to be in a big hurry to be getting too many places here. I didn't know. Bobby reminded me, goes, Mom, that man's got a lot of threats out against him right now. He says, I just wouldn't worry about what he's saying or doing as long as it's not against God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, and then so much he was talking about God, you know, God, God. Yeah. It was wonderful. But and when we heard him, we all heard him together say, like in the name of Abraham, the God of Abraham, Sister yeah. Kathy, you're a yeah. prophetess. You're a prophetess.
He came in. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, Pastor Fred.
Yes, he's here. What's going on?
I had good. So little faith. To, you weren't good. Here. And I had so little faith you were coming. And then Sister Kathy was said, well, let's talk about what Trump did today. And while we're talking, Pastor Fred will come. So,
amen.
There he is.
So she's a prophetess, Pastor Fred.
Oh, there you are, prophetess. Yeah. Hulda, the prophetess.
Hulda. Mm-hmm. That's me.
My mom's name was Hilda.
Oh, wow.
Was that your, you know, you've talked about your mother, Fred, but I never heard of her her first name.
Yeah, Hilda Helene Pietman, yep. Kent,
wow.
K-E-N-T-S, that's her maiden name.
Wow.
She was adopted by a couple from in Estonia. What happened was they wanted to go to Australia, a couple. They had made arrangements with one family that was 15 or 16-year-old young girl, and the parents wouldn't allow the girl go. So they asked Hilda's mother, could she go? And she said, could they take her to Australia at the age of 16? And mother said yes. And that's how my mother came to Australia.
Wow. She met your father in Australia.
In Australia.
I thought they came. Yeah, I thought they came together from.
No. Estonia. You know, all these immigrants, they all find places where they can meet together, either churches or clubs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay. Sure. Well, you're here.
All right. A couple of things. I taught on what you taught me, John, so it's not the same, but it is similar. But to start off with...
Well, let me open with a word of prayer. Let me open with a word of prayer. Let me open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're giving, like, the world an opportunity for peace, Lord, before the first phase, the day the Lord is near, hits. Lord, and you're very fair, Lord. You're a very, very fair God for sure. And you're also righteous and just. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time. And it was just marvelous to listen to President Trump, Lord. Amazing, amen. Amazing. And I ask, Lord, while this time of grace is out there, there would be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for we just can't thank you enough. So, Lord, I ask your blessings on Pastor Fred, and I ask your blessings on his teaching. And whatever we do, Lord, is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, Pastor Fred, I have two contacts that I work with in India. One is Bishop Reinhardt. The other one is Pastor David. And yeah. He called me today. He's in the United States. And yeah, he's in California right now. He's coming to Texas. He said he's going to contact me when he comes to Texas. Anyways, he says to me, by the way, he goes, an order of the Brokenhearted brochures just came in before I left, and they could use 100,000. He said it's a church ministry. There's several churches connected. And he said they could use 100,000, right? How's that?
Wow. That's wonderful. That's Jamil has 100,000. David has 100,000.
Yeah, 100,000 in Sri Lanka.
How many hundred thousand?
Oh, millions. He could use millions. But in Sri Lanka, they have a request for 100,000.
So what is 100,000 times 10 cents?
Well, no, they have a printing press. It's like a business also. He has a printing press. So he said that he can, 100,000, he can get down to about 3 cents each.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah. So there you go. And I'm excited to hear what you're teaching, because there may be some angles that I could use, Mr. Fred. So I'm very excited to hear this.
Well, there's only one that I think that maybe you can use if you don't know it already, but which, of course, you probably do. But were you up all night watching the hostages coming out?
No.
I was. From 2:30 on, I was anxious. You know, we'd prayed for them so often, and during our prayer times, and there was a real connection there. Who else would have got them through other than prayer of God's people?
Yes.
And done what's been done right now, this got us this far. It's the prayer of God's people. They're you folk too, obviously. But we had a real investment in those hostages and in their families. And I was thrilled to be shown what heaven's going to be like when we all meet together with our loved ones.
Amen.
Isn't that something like it on a natural level?
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine meeting up with some of your loved ones up there when you meet them up there for the first time? But of course, we'll be looking to the throne for sure, for the Lord. He'll be the light. He'll be the only one that we, but there is also that sense of meeting loved ones. And it was a taste of heaven just to see the joy and the thrill that people had when they, you know, even after 2 years, the horror that they'd been through. So Father, we thank you again for your word. And bless you, and bless us now as we read. And thank you for John and his teaching and his love for your word. All right, I mean, what got me started on this particular thing, I'm going to be talking about the seven eyes of the Lord, and then which go to and fro over the earth. And there's a couple of other things that go to and fro over the earth. We're in Zechariah 3, where talking about the type of the branch from they've come back and they're trying to build the temple after their captivity in Babylon. And so you correct me if I'm wrong here. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Well, John, you have tremendous teaching on that. The branch is the Messiah. The stone that I have laid before, the stone that I have laid, you pointed out, it's the Lord himself who lays the stone. He's the one who engraves it. You have a tremendous teaching on what that engraving is. And therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. There is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, removing the sin of mankind in one day. But then come with me now to chapter 4, verse 10, to give to an idea the seven eyes. The stone shall, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. What are the seven eyes? Well, verse 10 of chapter 4 says, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, that's the governor, the Jewish governor in Israel, with those seven. Those seven. Well, what are those seven? They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, that got my attention. What does it mean, the eyes of the Lord? That run, the seven eyes of the Lord that run to and fro. Both those statements, the seven eyes and the to and fro. Let me go to the seven eyes first. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, you have, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through all the earth. And then you have in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Job 34:21, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees his goings, all his goings. Jeremiah 16:17, for my eyes are upon all their ways. Jeremiah 32:19, for your eyes are upon all the works. And then you have in Hebrews 4:13, after that famous verse that we have, you know what, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In verse 13, it says, there is no creature hidden from his sight. That's the eyes of the Lord. That's the eyes of the Lord. Are you aware that the eyes of the Lord are upon you day and night? And there are seven eyes. It means he's omniscient, I would imagine, that God is all-knowing and all-seeing. There are eyes of the Lord upon your house, your church, your heart, the eyes of the Lord upon each one of us. So do we think for a moment that God does not see what is going on in our churches today, or in our house, or in Israel, or in your own heart? He sees everything. That's comforting. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Abba. I'm not putting it down. That's what the Bible says. And we get it from Zechariah. And it makes it very clear, very plain, that those seven eyes of the Lord are going to and fro over the earth. I thought that was a wonderful lesson. It was a wonderful reassurance, but it was also a wonderful, not necessarily a warning, but a responsibility to be aware that, he's looking at my house here and sees the mess that I have around me. I need to clean it up and get it straightened up. He sees the landscaping on my property. He sees the landscaping around our church. He sees the hearts of people coming into the church. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Well, that to and fro is going to pique your interest for sure. You've heard that statement before, to and fro. What else goes to and fro? And it was very interesting. I've asked the question several times of myself, John, on this. You remember when Noah first sent, well, first of all, Jesus himself said not to worry about what we eat or what we drink in Luke 17, I believe it is, and that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like we are. Look at the lilies of the field. And then he says, even the ravens receive food, which means the unclean ones, the people who don't deserve it, the unclean animals, the ravens. Well, you have a raven was the first bird, first thing that Noah let out of his ark. Verse 7 of chapter 8 of Genesis, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Well, where else have you seen that statement, to and fro? Well, we saw it in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, through all the earth. But you also know that it's in Job. Remember, someone else is running to and fro throughout all the earth. Who was that, John?
Satan.
Which is interesting that they use the same statement. It's mentioned in 1:7, in 1 Job 1:7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So there are two lots of beings. There's the omniscient, the all-knowing, and then there's this imposter, this counterfeiter, this father of all lies, doing the same thing. How dare he? How dare he, I say, to and fro throughout all the earth. But the raven, John, that Noah sent out, that was an unclean bird, from all we understand in Scripture. So I ask myself, and I think we know the answer to it, why, who got out on this clean earth that God had just washed clean before man got out there? And who sent their being, so their person out there? I don't know. Is it this same guy that runs to and fro throughout all the earth? I don't know. But I know that what we see is obviously the heart of man. In the heart of man, you have Noah and his family, the eight of them. Sin was still were not washed away with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, even though he had cleansed the earth. But I just felt that that to and fro traveling throughout the earth is an amazing thing, and how the Lord has his eyes knowing everything about us. But now let's go to the subject that we really wanted to talk about, and that was your teaching to me on Zechariah chapter 12. Chapter 13, actually. Chapter 13 is an amazing story about, and we'll read it, John says that Israel is trembling and being brought to repentance in chapter 12 and chapter 14. But in chapter 13, it's different. And it seems to be an addendum or something different, because it was 13, Israel, Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone. But in chapter 13, there's this amazing story about, obviously, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But my teaching basically was, it wasn't on any real theological truths, other than I was trying to get across to my people. They had never heard of preterism. I was astounded. Nobody knew what preterism is. And we know that there are, five or six or seven different interpretations of Scripture. Preterism is a very important understanding today because there are so many churches and people who are believing in it. Preterism means that everything, all prophecy basically, died after 70 AD when Israel was destroyed. There's no, and all prophecy concerning Israel ends there, and Israel is not a priceless precious jewel in the heart of the Lord. It's not the apple of his eye. It's not all the things that prophecy in the Old Testament talks about. It's got nothing to do with coming back to the Lord after the in the last 3.5 years of tribulation or in the millennium. Israel is out. That's what preterism teaches. It's got to be a frightening thing. But you know, John, that there are famous people who've taken up on this. But they've taken it up in different doses. Pure preterism is a frightening thing. It just says that Israel is nobody. It's no different to anybody else, and the church is the only thing, and all the talking about. No, and yet all these people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Don't they, John? Don't most of these people think that they're believers?
Yeah, Pastor Fred, that's why my head spins. Can they have doctrines like that and be a real believer in the Lord? It's weird. It's really weird.
Well, it was up to me to just tell them a little bit about preterism, and then also to prove to them through scriptures on a very light level, because you don't understand, John, preaching to people today, unless you just they are so ignorant of scripture. There are some people who know too much and have gone, they're dispensationalists, or they're all grace, or there are many different things which deny the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But the bulk of them had no clue as to the fact that there are other people who believe other things and believe all Christians all the same. And so it was up to me to impress upon them through these scriptures that we're going to read just how precious Israel is to the Lord, and just how these prophetic messages are so important and vital. Now, you have a lot more teaching on this coming in the branch, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and the number of places where the branch is mentioned. But let's just read chapter 12 of Zechariah. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. So here he's talking. This is talking to Israel, talking to the people that he's just chastised in chapter 12 and in chapter 14. And telling them, as he always does, our Abba Father is such a wonderful Father. even though he spanks his people and tells them, hey, listen, you guys are going into captivity and you're not coming back for 70 years. And when you do come back, you know, you're still going to reject me. But then he says, in that day, there'll be a fountain open to the house of David, to Israelis. Go to the very last verse of chapter 13. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. And this is it, folks. This is the next statement, which makes it so very clear that Israel is the apple of God's eye, as it says in so many other places. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, this Lord is my God. It is my people. It is my people. Now come back with me to chapter 12 and verse 8. Chapter 12 and verse 8. There's a couple of things here we need to see and understand. And that is, he's talking to God's Israel. He's talking to the people who are his people. He's told us in chapter 13 that he's going to open up a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, clean all their filthy stains. And there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So it's a prophetic statement. Some think that it's in the millennial kingdom. I think it's, as I will end with, I think it's when Jesus comes back in the second advent at the end of the 3.5 years of the final 3.5 years of tribulation that Israel is to go through. And others too. But let's go back to chapter 12, verse 8. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. He shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day, that's a future day from the time that we're reading this, in that day, that I will pour upon the house of David, this is upon the Jews, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all Jewish people, the spirit of grace and supplication. In other words, it's going to turn their hearts towards him. It's not to turn towards him now while they're underneath this cup of trembling and under these judgments and still unclean even today. Jerusalem isn't a theocratic state. It's a carnal state, and yet it still has prophecies coming to it. Let's keep on reading chapter 12. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In other words, there's coming a time when God's people, the Jews, Jerusalem, Israel, who are his apple of his eye, will turn to him because he gives to them the spirit of grace and supplication. Now, that can happen now through the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But as a nation now, he's giving us this prophecy to them, that they shall look upon him whom they pierced. Well, they pierced him in his side. The Roman soldiers did that, but they pierced him with his hands and his feet with nails. And there is going to come a time where there will be this mourning and this bitterness, as one that has bitterness for his firstborn. Now, that's one thing. God is going to prepare them for himself as a nation, as a nation. Does not mean that the individual cannot come to the Lord Jesus now and join the Christian church, as because he said, "I will build my church," said the Lord Jesus, the same one that cleanses us all from sin. Anyone can come to him and ask him forgiveness and have their sin cleansed from them. But what I was teaching in church on Sunday was that it's one thing to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, but if nothing happens in your heart and in your life after that, if you never read the Bible, if you never get baptized, if you never hear the voice of the Lord, if you never pray, if you never worship, I really don't see how God can use your claiming that you're repenting and asking the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that you believe him in your heart, and that you'll be saved forever and go to heaven without having done anything other than just ask him into your life. Now, that does not mean that it happens a lot, that people ask him into their life and the Holy Spirit, and then they don't do all these things, but then there comes a certain point in their life before they die. They turn their life to the Lord and start reading the Bible and praying and crying out to the Lord about their sin and their life and wanting to live for him and wanting to testify for him, to him, wanting to walk by faith and not by sight. I don't deny that. But a person who comes to the Lord Jesus and makes one prayer and believes that, oh, I have my insurance policy to heaven, and never, ever after that turns their heart or their life or repents, I don't know. I have serious doubts as to whether that is valid. But now let's look at these next few verses in chapter 12. It's an indication that even though he's going to give grace and a spirit of supplication, of prayers and crying out to the Lord, to the Jews as a nation, and yet there is this indication that each of us has a free will, just like that, the Jews also. Let's read it. Verse 12. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. What's that telling us? That's saying that we all, each one separately, have a responsibility for our own salvation. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Doesn't mean that Israel one day is going to be robots and they all turn to the Lord whether they like it or not. No, there has to be a response from the heart, a belief in the Lord Jesus. No matter how much mourning and grace and supplication, there has to be a personal application. A person cannot, or a Jew cannot say, well, because my mom and dad were Jews, I'm a Jew and I'm going to heaven. Or a Christian cannot say, claiming to be a Christian who never seeks the Lord and asks for repentance, and says, well, my father was a pastor, or my parents were Christians, so therefore I'm a Christian. There's no such thing. You have to have the individual understanding and the individual acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there has to be this relationship that we have with him. Now, John, I did teach about the branch, but I didn't want to take too much time, but I did want to go to one verse that I think you might find intriguing. Come with me now. This was a teaching to my church about them understanding that God says, it is my people the Jewish people. The prophecies in the Old Testament, so many of them, are for the Jewish people. They still are around. And even the people who say there's no such thing as prophecy today, or there's no such thing as signs and miracles and healing, well, my friend, there's prophecy still waiting to be fulfilled. And there's prophecies that can still be made today. Revelations that Paul says he received from the Lord. But come with me to Revelation 1:7. This to me was the clincher of the deal of your teaching, John. I thought that we were wondering what time, when was this all going to happen? When was the Lord going to open up the fount for Israel as a nation? Individually, we've talked about they can join the church quite easily. But then 1:7 in Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds. We know what that means. John teaches us that with the saints after the rapture. And every eye shall see him. Now, talking about eyes, remember we talked about eyes of the Lord are all over the earth. There's seven of them, and there's the omniscience. Well, here now, it's our turn to see him. Every eye on earth is going to see him. And then I like the next. And they also which pierced him. Who are they, John?
That's the nation of Israel.
Is that when Zechariah 13 comes into play?
Wow, that's interesting. Wow. Well, yeah, see, when he comes with the clouds of heaven, yes, Fred, yes. Yes, it ties in directly with the clouds
of
heaven.
So all this happens before the second coming. Oh, at the second coming.
That's at the second coming, yes.
And those that pierced him, and we read it in chapter 12, that's when they get the spirit of grace and supplication? Well, they must have got it during those 3.5 years of horror.
No, that's when they'll get it, Fred.
That's when they'll get it.
Yes.
So you like that verse?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know why the Lord led me to it. I was looking for the seven eyes that were in the churches, but it was wrong. It was the seven stars and the seven candlesticks.
Well, Pastor Fred, seven eyes. Go back up to verse 5.
Yeah.
And from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings on the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
That's Zechariah 12:1, 13:1, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, the fountain. That's the fountain for sin and uncleanness.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God. He's such a good God, John. He is such a good God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, we say it, pray it twice in the Lord's Prayer. Thine is the kingdom. At the beginning, at the end, and here it is again, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And why wouldn't he have dominion if he's got seven eyes going? And that's a pair of eyes, John.
Yes.
But I love that verse, verse 7, which, and it jumped out at me just this last week as you were teaching. They also which pierced him. I think that was the answer to our question that I had.
Wow. I have never put that together before, but that fits perfectly, absolutely perfectly.
Praise God. Thank you, John. It was a wonderful teaching, but I had to teach a little differently. You have a lot more thorough teaching on it, the branch and so many. But that was what I was able to give to my people, and everyone was really appreciative of that. Understanding more as to why they should be concerned for Israel and pray for Israel, as they have.
Amen.
So thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your Holy Spirit guides us in your word. Thank you the vast amount of things that John has been able to put together. And Lord, how you wake him up at middle of the night and have him thinking and meditating. And you do that with all of us if we're just willing to keep that word in our heart. We thank you, Father. And we bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor Fred. Amen. And I had, when we had that, it was a rather long discussion about the word there the other day. It brought back memories to me, and I completely had forgotten the impact I had with the branch of David with the Jews, the rabbis and the anti-missionaries. Uh-huh. And I actually called my ministry the branch of David. I forgot all about that.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, the branch of David, yes. You know, I don't use it anymore. But then it was all coming back, all those scriptures and how they were so turned upside down and inside out with the my servant, the branch, of course, and that is from Isaiah 11:1. We know that that's the branch of David that comes from David, the Messiah.
And which that is the Jesus ministry, the branch
yes,
of David.
Yes.
Jesus ministry.
Yes. And that the branch... my servant, the branch, was going to be carved, and you know, like a rock, not engraved, but carved deep into the rock, and that's the same word as opened in 13:1. There was a fountain right. opened for sin and uncleanness. So and they would always go with, well, we don't know who that is. We don't know who that is. We don't know. This is a mystery to us. And I said, well, it's Jesus Christ. No, we know it's not him. They would always tell me that. No, it's not him. We know it's not him, but we don't know who it is. But yes, that teaching there in Zechariah 3, 6, and then 13 was really had them in knots, Pastor Fred.
Yeah, well, branch has been used in Isaiah 4, Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 38, Zechariah 6, Zechariah 8. Branch is used a lot.
Yeah, branch means descendant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's called my servant, the branch.
Right. Well, thank you, John. Thank you. Mine had a different twist a little
bit
fine. Because of the... It was something that I had to get across to the people too. They really appreciate why we love Israel and then why there are certain people who have kind of turned away from Israel and why there's such to the point of anti-Semitism, I'd say, wouldn't it? Wouldn't preterism be anti-Semitic?
Yes. Yeah. They'd be coming like the Muslims.
Right.
Fred, when I dealt with them years ago, the preterists and the, what do you call them? The covenant theology that deny Israel and all. I warned them that God was going to merge them with the Muslims. I did a whole load of them. I told them that. And we're seeing it right now before our very eyes.
Oh, you're right. They're turning towards the Palestinians and the Muslims.
Yes. I said, God's going to turn you because you refuse the truth. God's got nothing. He can't do anything but merge you with the Muslims. You will become one with the Muslims.
Wow. Well, that's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
That's frightening.
But when people deny the truth, what's left, Brett?
Yeah. 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 Romans 1:25. Turn the truth of God into a lie. And they use the word.
Yes.
And they think they're saved.
Yes. That's why I'm very confused about this.
And they preach. That some of those preterists are brilliant people.
They're
like other.
They're all intellectuals.
That's it. They're intellectually brilliant. And they really, people hearken to them, those who like information only. That's a very dangerous thing.
Pastor Fred, there was a woman years ago, now she's going to be with the Lord, and she followed this guy from California, Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about? He had a big TV ministry.
Yeah, it's in Florida or in California?
No, it was in Florida, I think.
Oh, wait, there. Kennedy was the Presbyterian guy. Okay. That's a different one. Yeah, okay. That's the one, yeah.
So anyways, she followed him, and she was supporting him for a long time. Financially, she was helping him. And then she read my book, As America's Done to Israel, and she thought it was so good, she sent it to him. And she got a letter back from his office, and from not from him directly, but from his office. And it said that this book was insulting, seriously, and that they sent the book back. And please do not ever send us anything like this again about Israel. And she was shocked. She was absolutely shocked, Fred.
So these things don't come out, you know, always, do they?
Right. But he had a big following. But he never did talk about Israel. But so it turns out he was a preterist.
Right. Well, there are half preterists and there are full preterists and there are all different kinds, apparently.
Well, and that's the full preterist,
murky.
Right. The full preterist, I wouldn't even talk to. And I would tell them that they were heretics and they've got to repent of it because they believe that Christ returned spiritually in 70 AD. And
yeah,
that
everything's
there is,
spiritual.
Everything's fulfilled. Everything's spiritual. And there is no bodily second coming of Jesus Christ as we know it. So when I engaged them, I just flat out told them that there's no need for me to talk to them because you're denying the fundamentals of the faith that Christ bodily rose from the dead and he's bodily coming. You got to repent of it. But the partial preterists believe that Christ is coming in a body. He's coming, and that's still future. But everything else, virtually all other prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD.
It's sad. And how can you have a relationship with the Father under those circumstances?
That's what I say. I don't know what to say. It's so mind-twisting here. Can you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have doctrines like this? So I don't know. I just don't know what to say.
Yeah. And it stunned me that there was three or four people came and wanted to know what that word meant because they had never heard of it before and didn't know that there were such people around. It's hard.
So I just leave that in God's hands with them. I don't know. I just, how can you be so, and the thing that is really the worst is Israel is a nation. You know, the Jews are back. And Jerusalem's the capital, and they speak Hebrew, and yet they still deny the word of God, these people, the prophets, and the everlasting covenant. So it is very, very perplexing.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, friend. Now, you sound real good. Is everything?
No, I told you the pain had gone completely out of that knee. It's just swollen still, but the pain that I had was piercing pain, like a knife going through it every time I moved it. But that when Patty prayed, obviously 2 days later, boom, it was. Thank you for having the mind to call him.
Yeah,
and your prayers too, and your teaching. I wouldn't have gone into it had I not realized that my people didn't know, weren't solidly based upon why they trusted Israel, why they thought of Israel, some of them I'm talking about, the newer people.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right. So how can we pray for you?
Thank the Lord that he's continuing what he's doing with Katie and with us in the church and the folk who are responding to the brochures, and that we might be able to encourage more people to give towards sending more of those brochures out, because 100,000 is a lot of brochures.
Pastor Frick, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, that seems to be the number now. Talking to Jamil, you know, 100. I'm not saying anything. They're just telling me. Jamil wants 100,000. Pastor David in India, 100,000. In Sri Lanka, they want 100,000. And Zephaniah can use, I don't know, 30,000 or something. But it's not like, oh, we'll send, 100 brochures over. So it's absolutely amazing. Amazing.
But, and we should be praying hard that they can get them. There's no reason why we can't find them finances to, because we know that they'll use them. That's the other part. I know the effect that they've had every Saturday when I give them out. There's always, always somebody, two or three or four, will be really intrigued and start to read it and come back and say they were really blessed by them, or it's an amazing thing. Praise God.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for that terrible pain has been removed from Pastor Fred. And the swelling, it's still kind of swollen, Lord, but the pain is gone. So that's wonderful that swelling will come down now, Lord. We also, and is your sleeping all right, Pastor Fred, now? You're sleeping better?
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, that his sleeping is better, because it's important. We get sleep. It's very, very important for our health. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the people in the church, and they're being greatly blessed with Pastor Fred's teaching and his witness, Lord, to them. So we praise you and thank you for that. We ask for more people to be brought in, Lord. More people. Thank you for all the people that were baptized through his church, Lord. And then, Lord, on Saturday, him and others. Pastor Fred, did I say I was going to send you more brochures?
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Let me write that down, because I completely forgot. Okay.
And a open Bible.
Oh, yeah. I would have forgotten that also. Bible and brochures. Okay. That went in one ear, right out the other. So I got it here written. So, Lord, thank you. On every Saturday, they're a witness for you. And there's fruit from that already, Lord. And then, you know, he may never see the person again, but there may be a tremendous testimony there, Father, that we'll only know in eternity. So we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I want to, Fred, you gave me a rather good report on Katie. Is she still improving really well?
Well, yeah, she still has the chemo, but she's on the last. They can only give so many. Right. And in November 10, they're going to do another CAT scan to check things out.
Okay.
But her numbers on everything. The fact that she's eating so much better, it's kind of, I think it's part of her healing. I really do.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, Father, we thank you for the good report that we've gotten back from Katie, Lord. We thank you for that. We're asking for the she's in the process, Lord, the process of being healed. So we're asking for the complete healing, Lord, of Katie, her strengthening, Lord, that she can get back on her feet, Lord, and all. So we thank you. We ask your, Lord, I don't hear too much about Nate, but also, Lord, we bring him in prayer, where he needs to be healed of cancer, Lord. Liver, I believe, that he would be healed from that, Lord. And we thank you. We ask your blessings on his other children, Lord. So continue to bless Pastor Fred. Bless everything that he does, Lord. And we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, and Lord bless. Lord bless.
Okay, we'll be in touch, Pastor Fred.
Okay, thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Bye now.
Okay, Sister Kathy?
Yes, I really don't have a comment or question. It was wonderful.
Okay.
And the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro, seeking whom he may bless. And stop here, Lord.
Yeah, and it's interesting because things had settled into my background, I guess you'd say. And that's what I named my ministry, was the Branch of David, dealing with the Jews, because it had them turned upside down. It turned them every way but loose. And they were, we don't know who that is. We don't know who that is. We don't know who that is.
And you said, let me introduce you to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh, no, it's not Jesus Christ. Oh, no, we know it's not him. We don't know who it is. But that brought back a lot of memories. They tolerated me with all of that until I got to Ezekiel 43. And the God of the branch, God's servant, the branch, was sitting on the throne of David as the holy God of Israel. And that was it. They couldn't tolerate that, Sister Kathy. That was too much. So, you know, I've been thrown out of some places. I've been thrown off of Facebook. No, YouTube. They shadow banned me on Facebook. They threw me off. I've been thrown off of Alex Jones. And then I was thrown out of, I was exiled with all the Jews. They blackballed me. So,
yeah, and you were even kicked out of Canada.
Yes. I didn't even get to go. Yes.
No, you were there in when
I forgot. There was three incidences. One, I was supposed to fly to Canada, to Toronto, and I was going to be interviewed on a TV show there. It was the equivalent of the 700 Club. They called it Huntley, the guy's last name, something Huntley. And then I got a call. It was all set, and I was supposed to hear from them about the tickets to fly. And I got a call, and they said it was canceled. And I asked why, and they said, well, we searched your website, and you speak out against homosexuality. I said, that's correct. Well, we can't have you here because if they find out, we could lose our license. And plus, we could be picketed by the homosexuals. So that took care of that. And then the two times, I went there two times. And the first time was that big one where all the Muslims were out in the streets.
Right.
And the police were there. I can still see that, Kathy, like it was yesterday. I turned around, and the Muslims could see all the police, and they could see the news. They had a van there with a big lift up in the air, and they were videoing the whole thing, and then the reporters were right there with me, and they were telling everybody to keep quiet. Don't. He's trying to provoke us. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. So I had a grand old time walking up and down in front of him, preaching the word. Oh, my. It was, yeah. And then the other time, the same preacher asked me to come back. But whatever building they were held in, they threw us out. But we found another place. And that I was able to preach there in that other place. But yeah, we were blocked. It was the city. It was, I think, a government auditorium of some sort. And they found out that I was preaching. So they blocked it. We couldn't use it, but they found something else. But yeah, those were the days, Sister Kathy.
Yep. That was where it all started and how it all got going to just defend and proclaim the gospel, no matter what.
And that, Sister Kathy, that last time I came back from Canada, when I crossed over into America, I had a hard time getting back into America.
Yeah, they asked if you had guns on you.
No, that was going into Canada. Yeah, they asked me if I had mace on me and if I had a and they interrogated me. Well, not they, it was one man. He really interrogated me. Went over the questions several times. Do you have a pistol on you? I said no. Do you have a rifle? I said no. Shotgun? No. Do you have mace? I said no. And then I realized later I did. I had it on my keychain. But I didn't. I didn't lie on purpose. Seriously, I just said no.
Right.
And he read the letter of introduction for me to come to the event to speak. And then he asked me again, and it was big pauses between the questions, I guess trying to get me to get nervous. And I said to him, look, you want to search my vehicle? Go ahead. I don't. Do you plan on hunting while you're here? No. So then he asked me, I'll never forget it. He said, do you own any weapons? I said, I'm a typical American, and yes. So he said, okay, come on in.
Well, that makes me remember something. Can I ask you this?
Sure.
What is a victimless crime? Can you name one victimless crime?
Well, it's usually like white collar crime.
But how is it not? I mean, doesn't somebody end up losing money or something? There's always, in my opinion, something. If it's a crime, somebody's been violated some sort of way.
You're right. But that one trial that Trump was involved in, no one, they were after Trump for fraudulent stealing money from a bank. And remember the mortgage situation and all, whatever? And there was no crime. No, there was no victim. But they found them guilty anyways.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, thank you. Seems like if it's a crime, something's been perpetrated.
Well, you would think so.
Yeah. Oh, but it was wonderful today for them in Egypt to show all the leaders of the Middle East signing the peace treaty. That was, they made a production out of it. It was like, you two sign it, then pass that book. You two sign it. You two sign it. It was just really special.
And I'm convinced it was the combination of Israel's power and Trump taking out those nuclear weapons in Iran. The combination of them, they realized that, if Trump says it, he's going to do it, and he's got the power to back it up.
Exactly. So when we went from the Defense Department to the War Department, it's like a whole different paradigm. Like, we're not going to wait. We're going to be proactive.
Okay. Well, we'll get to be praying real soon. And right. Gigi and Randy. Hello, Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Now I hear you. Yes.
All right. Yes. That was a wonderful teaching by Pastor Fred.
Yes. When he talked about the seven eyes in Zechariah 3:8, now I'm going to be mentioning that Wednesday night when I'm teaching. However, I didn't plan on going in any depth to it, but I think I am now. I think I am now. Based on the things he said tonight.
I actually think that is important because that comes up in the book of Revelation.
Show the connection.
the connection of the seven eyes.
Oh, that's in Revelation chapter 5.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really an important connection because, like what he was saying, it shows God's omniscience.
Yes, he sees everything, you know. Nothing is hidden.
Everything, he knows everything. Yeah. And I think that's a really, really important connection.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to do for Wednesday is I'm not gonna hold anything back. I'm gonna go in there and look as deep as I can about the seven eyes and everything else. I'm gonna spend quite a bit of time, and I want it real thorough because it's very important teaching, very important.
Yes.
So I want to do it real thorough.
Well, and I think it's important because so many times when there is something said like that in scripture, people, you know, their eyes glaze over, they have no idea what it means, and it's critical to understanding what the scripture is actually saying.
Yes.
Like if you hear somebody just kind of teaching on that, they don't stop and tell you that. I've only heard, besides Pastor Fred, I've only heard one other teacher do that.
You mean on the eyes?
Yeah, the eyes of the seven eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And those things are important because if you just looked at it without understanding anything, it doesn't really have that much meaning.
Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. And God doesn't put things in there just to put them in there in his word. You know, not as filler. There's something very important.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was really something. Since we're kind of talking about what's going on, I just have a quick question. And that is, I didn't watch the whole film, but they made a deal with Qatar.
Yes, bizarre.
Where they're going to, one of my friends up in Idaho contacted me and said, is this true? And so I said, I don't know, I'll look it up, make sure. But I don't know, I think that's bizarre, frankly. I know it has something to do with, I'm not sure what. I mean, I can speculate, but I'm not going to do that. But I just thought that was odd.
There's a military base in Qatar, so we could do it there if we want to train them. Why bring them to Idaho? It's bizarre.
I think it's bizarre because, I mean, look at what happened when they trained those guys in Florida, and then they ended up, you know, they only trained them to take off, not to land. And then they... You know, and then they did the Twin Towers and all of that. So, yeah, I just think it's bizarre. If you don't mind, when we get to prayer time, I'd like to pray about
that. Yeah, sure.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Pray about that. Okay. I'm done.
All right. Okay. And then we have Sister Sharon.
Yes. Hi, Jeff and John. All I know is that I got to re-listen to this. All this talk about the seven eyes and stuff has really sparked my interest and stuff. And I honestly don't really remember much about hearing about the seven eyes and stuff. So it's got
well, seven is God's complete number. You know, seven is a complete number, a number.
Yeah.
So seven eyes means it's all seen. All seen.
Okay.
And it also means they're my servant, the branch, and it's associated with that rock that's in front of them. So the seven eyes means that this is, you know, who has perfect seeing everything? Only God. You know, so that rock, and in my teaching on Wednesday night, do you remember, the rock that was Moses struck twice?
Yes, yes.
Now, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us that that rock was Christ. You know, that was symbolic of him.
Okay.
And he was only to be struck once at the cross, not twice. So that's why Moses couldn't go into the promised land.
Wow. Okay. I didn't realize that either.
Yes.
I never heard that before.
Yes, it was very severe what Moses did wrong. It was very, Lord told him only to strike. But the Jews were murmuring and moaning and carrying on. And he got angry with them and struck the rock twice.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember him hitting it twice.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And then, so I'm going to be teaching all that Wednesday night, because that rock is the same thing as the rock that was in the wilderness with them during the, and that rock was Christ.
Yeah, it's going to be one heck of a sermon and teaching Wednesday night. Definitely.
Yeah, and do me a favor, because this here, well, I may end up teaching twice, because there is a lot of material coming together. Because I'm in the process of doing it now, and there's a lot of scripture coming together. So I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's going to be exciting, too. I can't wait till tomorrow night to hear your pre-teaching.
Oh, my pre-teaching. Yes. I forgot all about that, the pre-teaching. All right. And then we have Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
I never know. This is so good. I'm glad. I've been blessed by the teaching and by your answers to the questions. It's like they go hand in hand. You extend and expand on some of the teaching to the degree that, you know, we don't grasp it all. And then you just put the finishing touches with your responses to questions, like just recently, the seven eyes. And I appreciate it very much. I'm very glad to hear the testimony from Pastor Fred, too, testimonies, and that his pain is gone. And he realizes that, you know, God prompted you to give the call for the prayer. And it's wonderful that he does that. When something is really called for, he lets you know and you do it. And what I'm noticing about, you know, like Moses striking the rock twice instead of once, about how important it is to God that we truly pay attention to when he gives us a personal response to a question we've given him, for us to pay attention to it and to follow it. I mean, it's like if we just really pay attention to what happens in scripture and learn from that, and then say, okay, Lord, help me to be totally diligent and a fine-tuned hearing and attention, uninterrupted, undistracted attention, and then to truly trust, honest, and obey. Because, you know, we never know when that decision that we make is going to make a much bigger difference than we would ever anticipate.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And then we have Rita here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chap and John. I don't think I ever heard a sermon preach on that topic about the seven eyes of the Lord God.
Uh-huh.
And I've been saved, how many years have I been saved? Over 50 years now. So, and I was really blessed by Pastor Fred's teaching tonight. It was really good.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The seven eyes.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, I mean, Pastor Fred is a blessing to us here here in Abba Father Fellowship. He's a blessing to us.
Yeah, he's like a hidden, you know?
Yeah. Well,
now, I've mentioned to Fred, I'm going to try and next, well, we've got to get communion also, but I'd like next Monday, the Monday after, for him to give you his testimony. I mean, he's a mighty man of God. As a missionary, he went to New Guinea, where the gospel never was before. And they had been headhunters and cannibals.
Wow.
I mean, just incredible stories, incredible. Riveting. Riveting when he tells you. And then his first wife got sick there, and she wouldn't leave. She wanted to stay. She wouldn't leave, and she died there, his first wife. He died in New Guinea, and then he came back, and there was a church that supported him, and that was the church I was going to. And Darlene's a very good friend of mine. Me and her husband were very close, and he passed away. And so that's how they met. Her husband passed away, and his wife passed away. And then they got married, and he brought her back to New Guinea. Isn't that something?
Yes, that is something.
Then
but
the
don't
churches,
forget to.
The churches he set up in New Guinea are still there. He's still in contact with them.
Oh, wow. That's good. Well, don't forget to ask him to give us his testimony.
Yes, I will. I will. I've asked him, but I've never pressed it. You know, I'll press it a little. And if he says no, that's fine. But I'd like you to hear his testimony. It's riveting.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it.
So, okay, and then we have Joy here. Hello, Joy.
Hey, Pastor John. Yeah, is the seven eyes related to Isaiah 11 to the seven spirits of the Lord? The
yes.
Seven spirits? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and you'll see it in Revelation chapter 5. Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
All right. Let's, thank you. And then, I'm tongue tied here. Let's go into prayer, and we can, Monday night, we just pray as you feel directed. So, Sister Sharon, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, I sure will. Dear Father God, I just thank you for tonight. Thank you that we could all get together and to hear Pastor Fred and talking about just the very, very short sermon that he gave us in the teaching. But it was just so impressive and stuff. He is a wonderful man to listen to. And I'm just so glad that he is being faithful to come and to talk with us and preach with us, and I just so we can hear your word, dear Father God. And I am just so happy. I am so happy to be part of being able to hear this ministry. And I know that like next week we're talking already that we're going to be having my goodness, I can't even think what it's called. Please forgive me, dear Father, for a bad slip of tongue and stuff at communion. Yes, we're talking about having a communion service. And I just want to say thank you for that, dear Father God. And we know that tomorrow night is going to be a very, very good teaching and preaching preparation for Wednesday night at My Shalom. And, oh, I can't wait for either night. It's just going to be a very, very good teaching to listen to. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we have the people that are here in Abba Father International, that you want to be here. And that's what's so very important, that people want to hear your words. They want to hear somebody talk about your word as it should be. And that is one thing that we do hear more and more from Chaplain John, is the word, the value of your word, and the true meaning of a lot of your word. And it is just so important that we do. And I just want to say thank you to Chaplain John for being the man of God that he is, that he is just so willing and able to spend as much time necessary to study, to put things together, to help us better understand what is going on out of the Bible. And we know, dear Father God, with everything that went on today over in Israel and stuff, in the freeing of the hostages and stuff, and we just know that this is a situation that we just really need to continue and pray about everything that's going on over there. Because we know, if a true readings of the Bible, that this is far from over. And so, dear Father God, I just pray for my friends. I pray for my family. I pray for people who still need to be saved, that they need to come to you. And that's what they need. They need salvation. They need to know what it means to repent. And they have revival. And just remember that revival can start as one person in our own home, dear Father God, and it just spread right to more family members down the road, down the block, and to the whole town, to the state, all around the world, dear Father God. And we just need to get the word out about you, dear Father. It's the best thing we can do, is to talk about you and give people the truthful meanings of what your word means, and to direct them to a good person to study off of, just like Chaplain John. And so I did so many years ago and stuff. And I was thinking today, I have a real, real good friend who's working on stop smoking cigarettes and stuff. And that's one thing I remember when I quit smoking years and years ago. I can tell you the day, and I don't know how many years ago it was, but I know I was listening to Chaplain John then, and that really helped see me through a lot of the anxiety and the stress that I was going through when a person stops a bad habit like that. But I thank you, dear Father God, that you got me through that. Listening to your word got me through that. And if people need help with any issues like that, hearing a good teaching always helps. And so I just want to say thank you, dear Father God, for that day in July when I did quit smoking. And I just thank you that I was able to do that. And I had the help of pleasant common voices and prayer and studies and Abba Father International and stuff. And I just want to say thank you, dear Father God. In your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You didn't know that, did you?
I think you mentioned that before, Sister Sharon.
That's a long time ago, but it was listening to you that helped me continue on without smoking.
There you go.
Absolutely. You were very, very supportive of that, too.
Wow. I don't know that. What do you think, about 15 years ago now?
Oh, probably. Yeah, I have no idea how long ago it was.
It's funny how that it just blends into the past. You know, it just blends into the past, and you can't, unless something really monumental happens, you know, like your you were married that year or something happened, then you can say, oh, right. Yeah, that was the year of this happened, and that was 18 years ago. Otherwise, you just, it all blends in.
Right. Well, yeah. I could look it up. I could go. I was admitted to the hospital, and they asked me, they goes, well, do you smoke? And I goes, no. And the guy looked at me, oh, he could probably smell it all over me. He goes, yeah, how long have you not smoked? And I goes, long enough. I said, but I'm not smoking anymore. I'm done. And I literally, that was it. That was it. And that's what I do remember. But I could look it up year-wise at the hospital.
Good.
But,
good. All right. Okay, Paula Jean, lead us in prayer, please. Yes, Sister Paula Jean. All right, Sister Kathy.
Lord, we just thank you so much for your mercy and grace. We thank you for miracle signs and wonders. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God, and it just lives, and it breathes, and it moves, and it has its being in us. And we thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you that you are the giver of life. And Lord, you are the giver of truth and wisdom and the giver of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we just say you are good and your mercies are everlasting and your truth endures to all generations. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. And we do thank you that President Trump is referencing scripture and you as God and just the world as being in peace, and that peace is so wonderful compared to the state of war that can be. And we just thank you, Father, for the hostages being released. We thank you that all 20 of them are on Israeli soil, God, and that it is just a life that hopefully they will be able to bounce back from these 2 years of torture, abuse, and gaslighting and everything else that happened. And so we thank you. I pray, Lord Jesus, for the fivefold ministry, their spouses and children, home and foreign ministries, missionaries. We pray for Christian radio, Christian TV, Bible printing companies, tract printing companies. And we thank you, Lord, for artists, poets, musicians, every creative force there is. We do thank you that you make a way. And Lord, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is destruction. But we're going to stay on the straight and narrow. We're not going to go the wide path, the broad way. We're going to go the way to heaven. Thank you. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. I do pray for tomorrow as Chaplain John, first of all, goes to the prayer group with the men and then preaches tomorrow night from the study he's done. And then on Wednesday night, that it will go smoothly. And thank you for Joy being here, Lord, and being there at my Shalom and Words of Life. She's just such a blessing to all of us and to Chaplain and to Ruth and Tim and all of the congregation. So, Lord, we're just blessed. I do pray for Larry and Steve in Long Island. And just all the people that are armor bearers for ministers. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are growing us into soldiers and warriors of the cross. When we put the word in, Lord, faith and fear cannot coexist. They just can't. So we just thank you for the faith that can move mountains, the faith that can just part seas. Oh, Lord, all the testimonies, all the miracles, and all the scriptures that just declare the works of the Lord. Oh, my goodness, thank you that the Word is alive active, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We do pray for everybody that's on the prayer line. We pray for everybody that's in chat and on Facebook and X. And we just thank you for Jerry Vann. We thank you for Pastor Dove's healing, his soon 100% recovery. We thank you for Nancy and Suzanne as their helpmates, Lord. And they couldn't do what they do if it weren't for these two ladies. So we just thank you for them. And Lord, we pray for Michael and Robin, and we pray for Steve Joy in Houston. And we just pray for all the workers of the gospel, all the propellers of the gospel. And we just thank you, thank you, thank you. I pray for my town has the county fair this week. And after a parade, we pray there was no accidents or incidents. And Lord, there'll be no things crazy at the fair this year. There'll be no loss of life. There'll be no injuries. There'll be nobody running away with a person at the fair, which seems to always happen in such ludicrous ways. But Lord, we do pray. Lord, thank you for the money that's generated for this, for the Kiwanis Club that is so community-oriented and pours back all the money that's raised into funding the ministries. So we just thank you for them. Everybody that turns a hand to serve and work out there, it's just amazing. I thank you, Lord, like programs like Revival Radio TV and Bible Expedition and just all the teachings and the ministries that go on, Lord, on a daily basis. And we love you, praise you, thank you. And we do thank you for the results of the Communion America this weekend. And we thank you that it nullified and will render useless and powerless the thing that was planning to go on this weekend in the very same spot, Lord. Just let it be shut down and not rear its ugly head. And we just praise you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, Sister Kathy, there's been feedback about that this weekend.
Yeah.
And there's like zero interest for them to come to it.
Very little interest. Praise God. Yeah. That's the way it needs to be. And we pray. We pray they won't retaliate in horrible ways for the non-function of that, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, what's happened with Trump now in America, in Egypt, with that treaty that was signed today in Egypt, and the hostages going back, and the Hezbollah is going to have to submit to being disarmed and all. I think that that's having a big impact here in America with the hard left.
Yeah.
They're trying to say he's a fascist, he's this, he's that, he's a Nazi, he's the reincarnation of Hitler, and he's mm-hmm. this. And here the world's giving me all this praise. They want him to be get the Nobel Peace Prize and all. So it's a big contradiction, and I think it's draining power, steam out of them, Sister Kathy.
Well, here's the thing that they said today. There is no such thing as Antifa. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
People, that is the most, I mean, I pray that comes back and destroys them.
Yes, yes. There is no such thing. So
it's a made up, and it's a figment of the imagination of the right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay. Paula Jean's here. Hello, Paula Jean.
Hi. You can hear me now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just got the combination. I am very grateful, Father God, that wherever we gather together in your name, seeking you, seeking to learn from you, seeking to
just receive whatever you want us to receive. And then coming to you with things that we lay before you that are troubling to us. You have set it up so that, I mean, you've just set it up so that we can be equipped when we need equipping. And I give you so much thanks for that. I praise you right now for what has been set in motion. We also pray, Father God, against evil that wants to respond to the light that is being shown to those who haven't even really experienced peace for many, many years. And Father God, I pray that you will actually help for this agreement of peace to come to full fruition, to disallow any interruptions and only allow greater understanding and appreciation of the work that is done to make the peace be held and not break its agreement. Father God, I pray that you be guiding and speaking with those leaders who have signed agreement. And Father God, I pray your protection over all who are working together for peace, even though we know that eventually that things will change. But right now, we are so grateful for the return of the hostages that have been returned. And I'm praying in addition that for the sake of the parents of those who are no longer with us, but their bodies still are here, that they will be honored, the parents will be honored and receive back that as well. And I just pray that Hamas does not violate, renege from, or lie about situations that need to be handled with integrity. They're not used to operating that way. And I pray you give them all the help that they need to be able to do that. And Father God, I pray that you be glorified as this thing gets worked through and carried out to fruition, and that we will realize that you were with us in this and are with us in peace for Israel, giving them more time to get closer with you and for all of us to get prepared for Jesus' return. I do pray, Father God, that you will continue giving private audiences over there to those who were raised to hate and to turn their lives around by a touch from you, your Holy Spirit, letting them realize that that's you talking with them and helping them just totally let go of the Muslim faith and walk to you, receive you, repent from the errors that they've made, and be blessed so they can help others also when they have their invitation to receive Jesus. We just pray, Father God, for so many people to be lifted out of the deception that they've been walking in, the bondage. And so I think that's how I will close, along with the healing for those people who love you, but the physical attacks that they haven't been enduring, Father God, that you help them to have just the right person come up and pray from the authority that you give them, the healing that they've been waiting for, and that they receive it, just like we were hearing from Pastor Fred. Father God, this can be happening all across the nation. So I lift that up to you too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hang on here. Okay, here we go. Now we have Gigi and Randy, followed by Rita, and then Joy. Okay, Gigi and Randy.
Okay, and I just wanted to verify because I wasn't exactly sure, but you said that, I mean, I knew that you were preaching in Tanzania.
Yes.
Was that the same pastor that Pastor Amandus went to see and you preached there?
Amandus, I think when I went there, well, I know that Zephaniah, Pastor Zephaniah is with me, and I think Amandus was there also.
Yes, he was. That's when the fellow was in the car?
Yes. That's when the imam was in the car.
Right. Right. And he ran.
Oh, yeah. And they said he was like crying when he was running. Jesus, save me. Jesus, heal my broken heart. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. 2 days later, he was baptized. And he's been he's a church worker now since that day.
Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
That's amazing. That was so exciting. I remember,
Now, do you remember the picture that I had of a, he was rather, he appeared to be a tall black man.
Yes. And I know exactly what he looks like. Yep.
The two Chinese men that were next to him.
I still have that picture.
Yeah. And the way that works is I have that brochure, The Brokenhearted, in Chinese. And Pastor Zephaniah told me there were a lot of Chinese workers, engineers and others, in East Africa building roads and other projects. So I said to him, if I send you these brochures, can you hand them out? He says, yes, there's a lot of Chinese in Nairobi. So
That was my student from the Chinese church.
Yes.
Her whole family they're from central China, and her whole family are professional writers. And I went to her and I said, now I don't want you to do, because I'm like older than she is. I didn't want her to do it because she felt like she had to. I said, you pray and you see if God wants you to do this. And she did, and she said it just came to her. She prayed about it, and the next day she woke up and wrote the whole thing.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Wow.
And so I said, because then God will use this. I'm not looking for a translator. I'm looking for somebody who knows this is part of a mission. And that she did it. Yeah, it was great. I appreciated that so much.
I forgot all about that till you reminded me. Yes, you were instrumental.
Yeah.
If you're following the streaming here is the brochure. I have it. I'm showing it to the people.
Oh, yeah. I can't see it. But
Hold on.
Yeah.
Sister Kathy, can you see the screen?
I do see the screen, and you're looking down. There you go, holding it up. Yep, there. Oh, isn't that pretty? Pretty characters, Chinese characters.
Yeah, it's in green. Yes.
Yeah, and it's in Mandarin, which is what most of the Chinese in China speak.
So what happened was, Pastor Zephaniah was friends. I can't remember the pastor's name from Tanzania, and Tanzania had a lot of Chinese workers there also. So he sent them to the pastor in Tanzania, who gave them to he gave them out, and two Chinese engineers came to Christ through reading the brochures. And then that they he took a picture with them. So he's standing in the middle. He's a tall, tall man. And the Chinese engineers are standing next to him. And you still have that picture, Sister Rita?
I do, yes.
Not Rita,
I do
because, Gigi.
Yeah, because I sent it to the student so she could see, you know, what had happened.
Uh-huh.
I actually sent it to, because I used to teach the ladies at that Chinese church, and a lot of them were college students. And so I sent the photograph to the other two Chinese students that they read through it to make sure everything was good. And they said, yeah, she's the best writer of all of us in Chinese. So they were all very excited. Yeah.
Look at the strange world we live in now. I mean, it's wonderful, but so I'm a Caucasian, and I write the brochure in my, at that time I would have been living in Pennsylvania, and I get it printed and all of that, and then I find out from Pastor Zephaniah, who is a black man in Africa and in Nairobi, so I mail the package to him. Then he talks to another black man in Tanzania and sends brochures to him, who hands them out, and two Chinese men read them and come to the Lord. So, you know, we have Oriental, we have black, and we have white. And it's like, it's wild.
Well, and those engineers, they were working on a dam project there at the southern portion where Tanzania is at Lake Victoria.
Uh-huh.
And so they were going home. So they got saved, and then they'll go home to China. We don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, we don't know what happened.
That was incredible. Yeah.
That was okay, incredible. Okay, lead us in prayer.
Okay, and I wanted to ask you, I thought you knew the pastor's name because I don't remember his name. But anyway, I wanted to know I have things to pray for, but I wanted to know specifically, obviously I'm going to pray for Wednesday, but is there anything else right now to pray for?
Yeah, I have a pile of other things to write. And
yeah, what about those brochures?
Yeah, so I'll get to them, but I mean, everybody here knows what happens. You've been following me through the years.
Right.
I have a hard time getting started. And then when I get started, I get halfway through or so like that. But it does get done. Eventually it will get done. So, but I have a lot on my plate right now.
Okay. All right. So Lord, we come before you. We bow our hearts before you, Lord. We exalt your name, and you are you are the great and mighty God. There is no other God besides you that is the creator of heaven and earth and everything seen and unseen. And you are worthy of all of our praise, all of our honor, and all the glory. And we just want to lift you high. And I want to thank you that those people went and did that communion on the mall there in D.C. And for years, Randy and I were saying there was a day of prayer and they never repented. They had the National Day of Repair and of Prayer and they never repented. And when I saw this and they were all repenting, Lord, they were all repenting and glorifying you, and makes me cry now because I just see that they are doing what the actual words say in the scripture, and they would leave it out. They would leave it out on the National Day of Prayer, but now they have done exactly what you asked for in your word and what was on their heart's word. So I am so, so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I know that you have honored that, and
that big rally that was supposed to happen over the weekend. What a blessing. And all these people came together to pray in advance and to have communion on the mall. And I thank you for the words of our president and also the words of Marco Rubio. He's preaching the gospel too. And that is amazing. I never thought I would see that in my lifetime. It's just unbelievable. And so we just want to give you praise, Lord. And I just also want to thank you and praise you for answering everyone's prayers concerning the hostages and that they released all of them and nobody was injured. No IDF, no workers helping. No one was injured, Lord. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you that what the enemy had planned to murder our president did not take place. You took care of that in miraculous ways, both of them. And so I do want to repent for all the wickedness going on in our nation and all of these people that have nothing. They have nothing else better to do with their lives than be evil. It's so sad, Lord. And I want to thank you. There was a big, big time bust. This is another one of those miraculous things that I am continuing to pray for, that they got a tip off in southeastern Wisconsin. And not only were they human trafficking, child trafficking, and drug trafficking, they were a big center of it. And they were out in the middle of rural southeastern Wisconsin. And that was amazing, Lord. That was amazing that there was a tip-off. They got it all together. It's exactly the same kind of thing that happened in Pennsylvania. It's out in the middle of the country. And it was a major center of all these evil things, Lord. So we pray that those kinds of events would happen more and more because it's so amazing that nobody got hurt, nobody got injured, the law enforcement got to do this, and it was just a clean sweep, Lord. And so we thank you, and we're praying that this would continue across our nation. And we continue to pray for all law enforcement, our military, all the paramilitary, everywhere, Lord. And I am praying, just like what happened in Texas, where they passed a law against any other law, specifically a Sharia law, that would try to take over their state. And now they're trying to do that in the federal government. There are several of them spearheading this. And we pray that that would pass, Lord. That law would pass. I also want to pray that you would keep our eyes firmly fixed on you as time goes by, because it seems like things have really turned as a result of what was going on with President Trump. So we bless him. We bless Netanyahu. And he has his own problems with the left there in Israel. And we just want to lift up the hostages to you. They have broken bodies. They have broken minds. They have broken hearts. And they have broken families. And so we are praying that those people would all come to their Messiah and that you would heal them in every way that is needed, Lord. Restore them. Restore every single part of them as a human being and as a spirit, and draw them to yourself, Lord. Save these people, Lord. Save them. And we just want to thank you, Lord, that your plans are perfect, your ways are perfect, your will is perfect. And thank you, Lord, that you have told us in your word all these things that are coming in the future. And it's amazing, Lord, how every part and parcel of prophecy in the scriptures has been happening, will be happening. And so it's not that we need to see the future. We need to see your hand your hand moving and your plan being fulfilled. And I want to pray over each and every one of us that is here tonight and maybe watching in the archives, that you would encourage each and every one of us. You would heal those of us who are ill, and that you would encourage us and provide for us and give us great discernment during this time, Lord. This is so important that it talks about in your word about discerning the times and the seasons, and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, heal the brokenhearted, and help those people that are in need, Lord. Bring those people into our paths. And I thank you. Something happened recently that was totally amazing, and I was able to give testimony to these three people about it, and they were amazed too. It involved them. And so I just want to thank you, Lord, that I was able to share with them, and they saw it in person. What a miracle that you did for me. And so we ask you, Lord, we ask you, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, and we want to see your name glorified throughout the whole earth. It says, if I be lifted up, I will glorify my name. And that's what happened at Calvary and then the resurrection. But now we want to proclaim that message and lift up your name. And that we pray that many, many people will come to you for a great outpouring, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. And then we have Rita. Hold on, Rita. I'll get to you in a moment. Yes, Rita, please lead us in prayer.
Okay, will do, Pastor. Chaplain. Father, thank you for today, and you have blessed me, Father, and I thank you, Father, for dying for my sins on the cross and for loving me when I was not worthy, Father. Father, I hold up America to you, that you will forgive, heal, and have mercy on America, Father, which we do not deserve, Father. We are a sinful nation, Father. We have legalized abortion, pornography, homosexual marriages, and we teach transgenderism in our schools. Father, I pray that that you would have mercy on us, Father. And Father, I pray that you would stop the spreading of Islam that is moving across our country. I pray for all the Muslims that live in America, Father, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And also, Father, I pray for the people that are trapped in pornography, in transgenderism, in homosexualism. I pray that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And I also pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit across America in our all our cities, in our college campuses. And Father, I hold up Israel to you. I pray that you will give her peace and put a hedge of protection around her. And I pray, Father, that every Jew in Israel will repent from their wicked lifestyles and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray also, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And Father, I pray that you would protect, encourage, and comfort Prime Minister Netanyahu, guide and direct him in all of his decisions that he makes for Israel. And I ask for the saving knowledge of Netanyahu, of your son and his wife, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son. Bless their marriage and bless their children. And I pray for the IDF, Father. I pray that you will put a hedge of protection around them, encourage them and comfort them, Father. And I ask for that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your son, each and every IDF soldier, Father. And Father, I pray for the Israeli hostages. Heal their broken hearts. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort each and every one, Father. And I also ask that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son, and that they will find comfort in your son, Father. And Father, I pray for Mike Huckabee, will be a blessing. I pray that Mike Huckabee, that will be a blessing to Israel, and keep Mike Huckabee, Father, close to you and your son. And Father, I give you thanks for President Trump. You have blessed us, Father. Keep him safe, encourage him and comfort him, and put a hedge of protection around him. And I pray, Father, that President Trump would love you and your son more with each passing day. Bless his marriage, and I ask for the salvation of Melania, so, Father, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son. And Father, I pray this also for J.D. Vance and his wife would come to the saving knowledge of your son. And I pray that you show them how corrupted the Catholic Church is. And Father, I also hold up Chaplain John to you. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen Chaplain John. Guide and direct him in all of his preparation for his teachings and for the new brochures that Amen. He is working on.
Amen.
Bless and anoint all his brochures and books, that many will come to the saving knowledge of your son and many hearts will be healed. I pray for the Abba Father Fellowship churches. I pray for the pastors. Encourage, strengthen, and guide and direct each and every pastor, and bless their churches, Father. And also, Father, I ask that you would provide food, water, clothing, and shelter to these poor people in these churches. And I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Arbor Father Fellowship, Father. And Father, I pray for Erica Kirk. I pray, Father, for her children, for Charlie's parents and his siblings. And I also pray for her side of the family too, also, Father, for her parents and for her siblings, Father. I pray that you would strengthen, comfort, and encourage them in the coming days, Father. And I also ask, Father, I pray that if Erica doesn't know your son as her Savior, I pray that she will, that you will convict her heart and show her how bad the Catholic Church is and that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray that you will bless us, encourage us, and comfort us, Father, and heal us, Father. Pray this, Father, all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you for the prayer, keeping me in prayer. Thank you. And then we have Joy. Hello, Joy.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear Lord, we ask your mercy to open our eyes. Oh, give us the eyes of Holy Spirit. Help us to see how glorious you are, to see that you are seated on the throne. You are the King of Kings. And help us to see, oh, Jesus, help us to see that he has overcome the darkness, overcome the evil one. He has won the victory. Thank you, God. Give us eyes to see who we are in Christ. We are the beloved sons and the daughters of Abba Father. Thank you, God. Show us your view and your purposes, and help us. May your glory cover us. Oh, your Holy Spirit, awaken us to see that we are your wonderful creation. We are the new creation. Restore us to your plan, or how you created us to be, that we can have the dominion over this land. Thank you, God, how much authority you have given us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to see that we are see the wonders in your word, in your truth. And remove us from the blinders of the enemy, from the deceptions of the lies. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, to see how much you want us to give us, to manifest your glory, your wisdom, your way, and your truth. And we want to know more of you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, I bring Sister Joy before you, and Lord, she has a heart to be an evangelist, Lord, and she has a boldness in her to win souls to you. So I'm asking, Lord, that you would increase the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you placed in her, and that she would have great, great power in talking to people and leading them to you. She does this, Lord, on a one-to-one witness, and it's she's very effective, Lord. So give her all the word of God that she needs to minister to people, all the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to them, lead them to Christ, to heal their broken hearts, Lord, to have them repent of sin. So thank you, thank you, thank you now. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, it was a good night tonight, and glad everybody's here. Tomorrow, we don't stream tomorrow morning. It's just Sister Sharon and Kathy. It's call-in. It's a call-in. On Tuesday mornings, I go to a prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to be teaching on Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. And I may need 2 days of study to do the whole, put it all together. But anyways, it should be interesting. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. So the more I study the word, certain books stand out, and Zechariah stands out. I'm going to call it the minor prophets. That's just an expression other than like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel's lumped with them. But some parts of Zechariah, some of the scriptures are a little difficult to grasp. but there's such good teaching in Zechariah. Wonderful, wonderful teaching there. So we're going to see a clear presentation of the gospel in Zechariah. So God bless everybody, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And remember, we are always to look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Send the fire.
Oh, and make us all fit